from NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here's our host, concert pianist Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you and welcome, everybody. We have a very different show for you today. We're at a string instrument shop. Well, not just any string instrument shop. We're at the world's leading auction house for exceptional and rare string instruments, Tarisio Fine Instruments and Bows in New York City and London. Full disclosure, we're in New York, not London. And if you listen closely, you'll hear the hustle, bustle, and taxi horns of Manhattan's Midtown drifting up from 11 stories below. Today, naturally, it's a lot of string instruments being played by our teenagers in front of a small invited audience. To help set the scene, let's speak briefly to one of the directors of Tarisio Fine Instruments, Carlos Tomei.
Hi, Chris.
Carlos, thank you for having us. You handle a variety of string instruments at a variety of prices, but some of them are incredibly valuable. Stradivarius, Guarneri's, Guadagnini's. If I were interested in buying a violin worth more than $1 million, how would I go about it?
It's a very good question. I think violins and instruments have become very interesting commodities. So the demographics of the customers have changed as well. A lot of investors, collectors, institutions have been very interested these days in buying instruments. So I think the key is education, information, and transparency. But most of all, again, is education.
And I understand that many of the valuable instruments are purchased by collectors or investors. You mentioned that. How often do they loan these instruments out to musicians to play?
Not often enough, unfortunately. I mean, as it becomes a commodity, they're also very protective of it. So philanthropy is something that has always existed. There's always a sense of passing on and helping musicians. But as the values go now for $20 million and above, it's not everybody that feels comfortable loaning. So it's a battle that we deal every day trying to help young musicians because it's their voice and they need these instruments. So I encourage everybody that actually is able to purchase instruments to think of that as a way to help young musicians.
It's a better way of keeping the instrument alive itself.
Absolutely.
Too. Isn't it better to be played than not? Yeah, absolutely. Well, you very kindly loaned a fantastic violin to our first young performer. Everybody, please welcome from Westchester, Pennsylvania, 18-year-old violinist Sein An. Sein, welcome. Thanks to Carlos, what are you holding in your hands there?
The violin that I'm holding right now is a violin made in Cremona in 1670 by a maker called Giovanni Maria Buzzetto.
And Carlos, what do we know about the provenance of this instrument?
He's actually a very interesting maker. There's not much known about him. He was during the golden era of Cremona where the violin making really started, Stradivarius. He lived during the same days of Stradivarius, but there's little known about him except that he was living there, but he had an influence from Brescia. So his instruments are exceptional, but there is kind of a mystery persona.
All right. Well, a mysterious but finesseful, beautiful instrument we're going to hear Sein playing just now. Sein, tell everyone what you and I will play together.
We're going to be playing Caprice After Study in Formable Waltz by Sein Songs and Izai.
When you are ready, we will take it from the top. Thank you. We heard Eugene Isai's arrangement of a caprice on an etude in form of the waltz by Camille Saint-Saëns, played by Sein An, 18-year-old violinist from Westchester, Pennsylvania, near Philadelphia. I've got to say, we haven't had such stylish playing in quite a long time. It's really just all about just the finesse and the real humor and wit and really sharp, sharply defined character of your playing.
Thank you.
Bravo, that was just spectacular. So what's your verdict on this great violin our hosts here at Teresio have loaned you for the evening?
I love the violin. I of course. Normally I really have to push the bow in order to get the sound that I want, but on this violin I really don't have to work as much to get the sound that I want.
Yeah. was a beautiful, beautiful sound. So it's going to be hard to give it back?
Of course. It's going to be really sad when I have to give it back. So.
Well, we'll do a Ocean's 11 kind of caper maybe at the end of the evening. Sane, we've got some catching up to do. When you were on an earlier From the Top, we put together a very special surprise for you. We had your absolute violin idol, Janine Jansen, make a surprise call into the show. I remember you as being speechless. Let's listen back to that.
Hey, Sane, it's Janine. I have actually just been listening to you, and on YouTube there's some wonderful clips of you, and you sound fantastic. And actually, thinking about it, I'm playing in Philadelphia, which I think is quite close to your home, end of March. I'm playing with the orchestra there, and I would be so happy to get you 2 tickets, and you can come to the concert, and we can maybe meet after the concert to say hello and talk a little bit, and would be a real pleasure to meet you. So take care, all the best, bye.
Bye.
Surprised? So did you get to go to that concert? And more importantly, did you get some hang time with your idol?
Of course I did. Thanks to From the Top, I did have a chance to go meet her after she was done performing. And we chatted for about an hour, which is a very long time for her because she's such a busy person. And I don't know, we just talked about everything from the dresses that she would wear to concerts to shoes. We were like best friends. She even let me hold her violin, which is a Stradivarius, and I was very amazed by the generosity of her and the kind of person that she was.
Sane, you were a member of last year's National Youth Orchestra of the United States on its tour to China, but before you left, big doings during the rehearsal period. What happened?
So what happened was I caught a cold, and basically since everyone at the National Youth Orchestra were basically living together, so the whole first violin got sick. And when we arrived in China, basically the whole entire orchestra got sick. So it was like a plague, and I was blamed for the plague. I was the first one to get sick, so yeah.
Wow. I understand Charles Dutoit was the conductor last summer, and how did he handle the plague striking his violin section?
So while we were rehearsing this piece called Berlioz's Symphonie Fantastique, in the third movement there is a very quiet section where we don't play anything but pizzicato. And I remember coughing, but it wasn't just a cough. It was constant coughing where I couldn't stop coughing. And maestro stopped the orchestra rehearsal saying, and I was very startled, saying I thought I was going to get kicked out of the rehearsal. But thankfully, he looked directly in my eyes and said, please don't die, because we need you. We need you in this orchestra. So I was very touched by that, because I know orchestra is a teamwork, but the fact that he cared about each and every member of the orchestra showed me what kind of a person he was. So, yeah.
Yeah. Sane, we love the sound that you made on this great violin you have in your hands. We love it so much, we're going to ask you to come back and bookend the end of the show with another piece. Is that okay?
Yep.
Great. We'll look forward to that. Meanwhile, brava again. Sane An, 18-year-old violinist from Westchester, Pennsylvania.
Have you checked out our new online video series? It features music videos, humorous clips, and stories of wonderful outreach projects, all featuring our fantastic young musicians. Go to YouTube and search for From the Top. Over the last 10 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $2 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more.
If our show sounds a little different today, and if you're hearing occasional noise from the street, it's because we're not in a concert hall. We're in the recital room at the leading auction house for string instruments as the guests of Teresio Fine Instruments and Bows here in New York City. Now let's hear the violin in a chamber music setting. To play the finale of Beethoven's Piano Trio No. 3 in C minor, we have 3 16-year-old alums of From the Top from the New York area. Qingyu Chen, violin, Esther Yu, cello, and Yulan Ji, piano. They call themselves the Clef Trio. I'm going to come turn pages for Yulan.
Thank you.
Clef Trio, three teenagers from the New York area. They played the finale of Beethoven's Piano Trio No. 3 in C minor. The Clef Trio is comprised of Qingyu Chen, violin, Esther Yu, cello, and Yulan Ji, piano. All three From the Top alums. In reading about you three, I was amused by the fact that you'd like to give awards to each other after working together so diligently and enthusiastically. So here's the awards portion of our show. Let's start with an award for Esther. Qingyu, I understand you want to tell our audience what this award is for, what you feel she really deserves it for?
Well, I think Esther deserves the Best Leadership Award because we consider her the captain of the group and that she organizes rehearsals, and in the midst of our hectic, busy schedule, we're able to find a time where the three of us are in our best mindset, bring our best selves to create music together. And I think that for that, she has to be really organized, really, really patient, and really, really, really insistent, which she possesses all these amazing qualities. So I believe she deserves this, truthfully so.
Esther, congratulations. I think they really, really like you.
Yeah. I like all of you, too.
Esther, now you have the honor of being the presenter, and I understand you want to give Yulan an award.
Yes.
Why does she deserve this particular award?
Well, I think Yulan deserves the award for listening. I mean, she's the only non-string member of this group, and It's hard for a pianist to blend in with the strings, obviously, but she does that perfectly, and we really look up to her for that.
As a person,
do
you have anything on your mind you would like to tell her? She'll listen. She'll give you some good advice as well.
A good Yulan, listener all around. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Team player. Next, Yulan, you get to present an award for Qingyu.
Yes, I think Qingyu deserves the Most Passionate Musician Award. Because, I mean, she's just so passionate at everything she does, and I think that really shines through as a musician. And also, she just brings passion to our rehearsals and makes them fun. And when she plays, she's just a ball of fire.
Of course.
Glad you think so.
All three of you brought great passion and listening and organization to the whole proceedings, and it was a beautiful performance. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Clef Trio, 16-year-olds Qingyu Chen, Esther Yu, and Yulan Ji.
Hello, my name is James Yang. I'm 18 and I play the violin.
Hello, I'm Kang Minshin. I'm 16 and I play the guitar.
We're both students at Julia Pre-College.
And we play as a violin-guitar duo. Now, the funny thing is, I really used to detest the violin because I thought its sound was too high-pitched and scratchy.
And I thought that the guitar was just this boring instrument because I'd see some random dude playing pop music on the street just repeating the same three chords.
Then, everything changed. I heard James and I discovered just how warm and elegant the sound of the violin could be.
And I had no idea how amazing classical guitar could be in the hands of Kang Min.
So, there's a funny story about how we got together. I wanted to play chamber music at my high school, but I really couldn't seem to find many people to collaborate with.
Most kids weren't interested in working with Kang Min. They just wanted to be in a more conventional group like a string quartet or a piano trio.
So I was looking around for someone who played another type of instrument.
I remember that he was in a rehearsal with the flutist once, and I just barged in and listened to them play for a bit. And after the rehearsal, I said, "Are you interested in playing with me?"
So yeah, to tell you the truth, I was a little startled because I thought, who are you? And why did you just walk into her rehearsal?
But we started working together and right away, I learned that Kang Min is this really passionate player.
And I just love the sound of the guitar with a violin.
So we're going to let you hear that sound now.
This is one of the most famous pieces for violin and guitar.
It's the Sonata Concertata by Niccolo Paganini.
This is the first movement, Allegro Spirituoso.
James Yang, 18-year-old violinist from Tenafly, New Jersey, and Kong Min Shin, 16-year-old, our guitarist from Creskill, New Jersey. They performed the first movement of Niccolo Paganini's Sonata Concertata. That was just such a sublime performance from you two, and from memory and everything. It was really gorgeous, really gorgeous.
Thank you.
So glad you guys got together. James and Kong Min are winners of the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center's Young Musicians Program, and they played in Alice Tully Hall just last year. Kong Min, you have an amazing story about how you started playing in Korea and about how Juilliard discovered you.
I actually wasn't even thinking about starting music. The way I started music was, my father was a classic guitar enthusiast, and he kind of thought it might be a good idea for me to learn like a piece or two, like maybe like a romance or Alhambra that I can like play at a social gathering to make people happy, you know? And that's always good, right?
Very good.
I was at the same time, I was preparing for basically getting into middle school in Korea, and basically, in Korea, there's a lot of competition, even for middle school. So I decided, along with my parents, that maybe I need like a good kind of resume for getting into middle school. And so I decided to go on this like really, like Korean National Youth Competition, basically for guitar. And so I played this one piece out of the three that I could play. But the thing is, I was really surprised after that because I actually tied first place with a really amazing guitarist who was in Korea and like was having a really amazing career. And the even more surprising thing actually came after that because the competition uploaded the video to YouTube and somehow the Juilliard pre-college guitar faculty saw the video and told me to come in 2 months for a special audition. It was like just this amazing experience, and that's how I got to be here.
That's an unprecedented situation. I don't think I've ever heard of Juilliard unsolicitedly scouting somebody. My gosh, from YouTube, no less.
Yeah, I'm surprised myself.
It's fantastic. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
So I wanted to ask, James, your musical beginnings were also unusual. You didn't warm to the violin at all when you first started, right?
Yeah, that's right. So at first, I had absolutely no interest in music whatsoever. In fact, I started violin when I was 7, and the reason why I started was because my mom thought that I was way too hyper as a kid. So she thought that maybe music could calm me down. She just gave me a violin and a bow. And I remember waiting outside the lesson room, still like playing with the bow as if it were a sword with my friend, using my violin as a shield. But the moment I entered the lesson room and, you know, I struck a few strings and played some few notes, I really liked the sound of it, you know. So something clicked with me, you know, with the violin.
Well, you've come a long way. I don't know whether Teresia will like you using a tort sword and a Guadagnini shield, but great hearing you guys play together. Wonderful partnership and fantastic performance. Thank you for being with us. James Yang, 18-year-old violinist, and Kong Min Shin, 16, a guitarist, both from New Jersey.
Today's show may be halfway over, but your From the Top experience doesn't have to end here. Sign up for our mailing list to keep in touch with all things From the Top. We'll send you all the latest news, plus let you know when we're coming to a town near you. Sign up at fromthetop.org.
This is the International Children's Arts Network. Later today is the International Lullaby Hour. Lullabies from all over the world, from France to Brazil, and right here from the United States. But first, it's story time. That's all right here on ICANN.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from Teresio Fine Instruments and Bows in New York City. Teresio is the world's leading auction house for string instruments. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Now it's time to leave the world of string instruments for the mesmerizing sound of the oboe. The 18-year-old oboist standing next to me joins us from Chicopee, Massachusetts. His name is Joel Rochez. Joel, please introduce the piece we're playing together.
We will be playing Solo pour Hautbois by Emile Paladilhe. I myself have nicknamed the piece a cute little French piece.
It's a good
name.
I hope
you all enjoy.
Absolutely. We heard Emile Paladier's solo for oboe played by 18-year-old Joel Roches. He comes from Chicopee, Massachusetts. That was just brilliant and such a charming piece. It is a cute French piece, as yeah. you put it. It's really cute. Adorable. Nice performance. Joel is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. Joel, was there a particular moment when you knew that you were going to stick with the oboe?
It was the junior year of my high school career. I was with the Springfield Youth Symphony Orchestra. I was principal oboist at the time, and we were playing William Tell's overture. And for those that do know, in William Tell, the first oboe actually gets the opportunity to play the English horn as the main English horn soloist, which very often is for the second oboist or the English horn player. And after I was done with the solo, because the solo is supposed to represent a cow, that's what the English horn is supposed to be, and the flute's obviously the pretty bird everyone likes. Mm-hmm. But after that solo, I felt like I deserve. This was perfect for me. Like, mm-hmm. I need to play music for other people.
You've had a tough time making the decision to pursue the oboe in college, though. So what happened there?
As my senior year, I applied to 8 conservatories. After I actually submitted my conservatories, there were a few weeks that I was extremely distraught because I was telling myself, I don't think I'm cut out to be a musician. Everyone is so much better than me. Who really helped out were my parents and my currently private oboe teacher. Mm-hmm. My teacher would sometimes at lessons when I just couldn't play a note, he would take the oboe out of my hands and just talk to me, which let me like relax, let him tell him my feelings, which helped me a lot. Mm-hmm. Now that I will be going to college next year, oh, I got into 4 out of my 8 conservatories, mm-hmm. and I'll be actually heading to Manhattan School of Music next.
Just up the street. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you.
And good for your teacher to be a mentor and a shoulder to cry on. It's wonderful. I mean, there's a lot on your mind as a musician. And,
yeah.
And unless you get that out, you know, it all gets caught up in the playing. And you double reed players are all crazy anyway already.
Yeah.
We know that.
Spending our hours making reeds.
And while your mom and dad are not musicians themselves, you say their lives and their work have had a major impact on who you are. Tell us about them.
They most definitely have. I myself, along with my parents, were immigrants from Honduras. I came at a very young age, so I didn't have to worry about learning English as fast as they had to. But my mom currently takes care of the elderly, which for me is a good role model because I see her helping others. And for me, music is a way of helping other people. Although I am not helping people in like a physical form, as in my hands are helping the people, I view like the notes coming out of my oboe helping someone emotionally. For all we know, that we do not know what's going on in their life. As my dad is a maintenance worker, very hardworking, even to the point when he's in pain, he still goes to work, which for me taught me to keep going, never stop.
It's great inspiration and wonderful examples and a wonderful sense of, you know, bringing your music as a healing force.
Yeah.
So to everyone's lives, including ours. Thank you, Joel, for being with us.
Thank you.
Beautiful performance.
Thank you.
Joel Roches, 18-year-old oboist from Chicopee, Massachusetts. We're doing a special, more intimate show today. We're in the recital room at Tauricio Fine Instruments and Bows in New York City. Tauricio is one of the premier auction houses for rare and valuable string instruments. If you're occasionally hearing the sounds of the city, that's because Tauricio is located in the heart of Manhattan's busy Midtown, 11 stories below. We've heard a lot from the violin today, so I think it's time we treat ourselves to a little cello. Sitting next to me now, bow in hand and all set to play, is an excellent 16-year-old cellist from Milford, Connecticut, named Sarah Scanlon. I will be joining Sarah to play Alberto Ginastera's Pompeiana No. 2.
¶¶ Thank you.
Sarah Scanlon, 16-year-old cellist from Milford, Connecticut, played the Pompeiana No. 2 by Alberto Ginastera. Such a passionate, soulful, deep, troubled performance. My gosh, just so much drama in that piece. How long have you been playing this piece?
Ever since I was 9.
Gosh, so yeah, it's a tried and true, you know, showpiece. Really great for you. I ask because I know you have thoughts about how to keep music alive when you've been playing it for a long time, how to keep it fresh.
Yeah, I think just finding new ways to practice it is a really good technique. And I think thinking about it, probably a lot of you have never heard that piece before, and performing it for a new audience is very important too. You would want to make it come across the way you would want to hear it performed every single time.
And you say another thing that helps you as a performer is the fact that you have thick skin. Do you need to be tough in this business?
Yeah, definitely. I think being tough in this business is a big part of it. I mean, if you get a criticism, that's a good thing. You take it, you either use it or you ignore it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a very big part of this business.
Before anyone gets the wrong impression here, there's another side of you, a softer side, the side that dances.
Yeah, ever since I was little, I was a ballet dancer, and now I'm into ballroom dancing.
Equally competitive, gotta say, right?
I mean, the competitions, all your friends are cheering you on from the side, it's a lot different because you don't have to be quiet or any of that stuff. So it is a big part of my life, and it's taught me a lot about music in general, too.
Well, mm-hmm. Very well played and well danced. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Sarah Scanlon, 16-year-old cellist from Milford, Connecticut. Given the unique setting for today's program, where we're surrounded by extraordinary string instruments at Teresio Fine Instruments and Bows in New York City, I think it's only appropriate to end the show the way we began it, with a performance by 18-year-old violinist Sein An, playing the gorgeous 17th century violin made by Giovanni Maria Busetto, An loaned her by our hosts for the evening. Sein, would you introduce the piece you're going to play? I know you think it's kind of perfect for this old violin, even though it's a 20th century piece.
Yeah, I'm going to be playing Elgar's La Capricieuse, which it's like a piece that makes me feel kind of nostalgic, which goes perfectly with the violin since it's a violin from the old days. So, yeah.
Perfect way to end our show today. I want to thank all of our great young performers and thank Teresio Fine Instruments and Bows. And thank you for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Sein will take this from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Bagley and Tim Banker, with music director Erin Nolan and assistance from Mark Williams. The tour producer is David Balsam and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Willett with Chris Rando. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music.
Gilbert House Children's Museum supports ICANN Radio with 20 hands-on exhibits located in 5 historic houses of Salem. We provide the opportunity for children to learn through creative play and discovery. For more information, visit acgilbert.org.